Jen.
Hey, Jeffrey.
You know, I was on iTunes yesterday, and I'm pissed.
Why are you pissed?
They deleted some of our stuff because it's, quote, too old.
It's because we produce so many episodes. Oh. They only keep a certain amount. I don't know what that amount is.
So here's the deal.
Yeah.
I talked to Doug, I talked to Nada, and we are going to get some of those episodes back because they were classic.
Love it.
And we're going to set them out again so that our diehards can take advantage of that wisdom that seemingly is off the air, but it's not.
Well, let's do it right now, like with this episode.
Cool. Let's
go. All right. Take a listen.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I am the author of The Little Red Book of Selling and the self-proclaimed King of Sales. And this is my partner...
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And she is pretty damn good.
Oh, thanks, Jeffrey.
Well, pretty darn good if you're, you know,
one of those
language-sensitive people.
If you are, don't listen to
our show, political
please.
Correctness is about to take a vacation. we are live on Facebook.com. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, make sure that you join us on Facebook for the next live broadcast.
That's right, because we're taking your questions and your comments live, and all you need to do is join us on Facebook to join the conversation.
And get answers to your questions that may help you make a sale. Now, I want to say hello to somebody, very, very important person with very new technology. We're going to take a look at the voice, the disembodied voice of the customer, our producer, the great Doug Branson. But look at him.
This is so cool.
Hello.
Wait, you can tell.
You can see Doug and Chris.
He turned his hat around backwards so you could see it's a hornet's hat.
That's right.
And wait, can you guys look at the camera just so they could see your faces?
Yeah, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, awesome.
All right, there you go.
All right, if you're just listening to us and you can't see us, you're really missing out here. This is cool.
Yeah, and here's a little live TV secret. This camera is a little delayed, so that's why I've got my head turned because the voice would not match.
Aha! That's a good secret to know.
I just told everyone.
Oh, I just see it. I see my mouth is not moving to the
right.
It's not sinking.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah, we should have got a better camera up there.
Hey, well.
So if I wave, my arm's not going to go up for 5 minutes. Okay, cool. There you go.
Now we're all impressed.
Okay.
So, hello guys. A reminder to everyone watching live that first of all, this is live. As you can probably tell already, we had some audio issues at the beginning. Apologies.
No.
We don't apologize.
You can subscribe to our podcast and get every one of our shows in audio form on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever you use to listen to podcasts. Just search Sell or Die. Jeffrey, Jennifer, what's going on in your sales world?
Next week, at the end of the week, January the 19th, I'm going to be in New York City live for about 3 hours from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock in the evening.
Public event.
A public event. There's only 200 tickets and more than 100 are gone already, so I'm assuming they'll all be gone by that time. But be there. There's people coming in from all over the country, and we're going to just hang out at 26 Broadway on Lower Manhattan and talk about sales. And there's a special hidden event that you must be signed up for the first show in order to get to the second show the next morning.
Yeah, you won't actually get invited unless you register.
Yeah, so exactly.
Where do they go to register, Jeffrey?
You go to go.gittimer.com/live. Wow, there it is right on the screen.
I love that. Register your seat today.
go.gittimer.com/live to register for your inexpensive but well worth it.
Yeah.
Well, and Jenny, what's happening?
All right, it's our 1 year anniversary.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa, oh. I love that.
Who's going to clean the confetti up from the floor? Hold on, someone down my shirt. Okay, cool.
Yeah, right.
We're good.
I'm working on a new website.
So am I.
And I know.
Yeah, we're
both. Mine's going to look pretty similar to how it is now, but it'll be a bit better organized, and it's going to be coded in HubSpot, so I'm going to be able to track like who's clicking where.
We have a guy behind the scenes, John Pavone, who is the HubSpot transition expert. You may not know him by name, but we're going to tell you where to
find his company, Spoke Services, and he's phenomenal.
SpokeServices.com?
Yeah. I don't know. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. That's
SpokeServices.com.
Yeah, and he's really great to work with. So maybe we'll interview him for a future show while he's in Charlotte.
So coming up, we got a great show. For the next few weeks, we're going to put our focus onto sales managers, also known as sales leaders. And this week, we're talking about the two biggest reasons that your sales reps are not meeting their quota, because a great number of them do not meet the quota, and you blame them for not meeting their quota when, in fact, there's other extenuating circumstances.
And if you're a sales rep, you make a reason or an excuse why you're not making quota.
Exactly.
But plus, we get the latest trends in sales management from sales expert Glenn Mattson.
So let's get into it. It's time to sell or die.
We're ready to reveal the two biggest reasons why your reps aren't making quota.
Hold on. What do you think they are? You're listening. There's thousands of you out there. Put it up on Facebook. What do you think is the biggest reason that your reps, or if you are a rep, what's the biggest reason that you don't make quota or your people don't make quota?
Okay. So before we get to our two reasons, we need a little data. Let's run the numbers.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to give you some numbers, Jeffrey, and like usual, you're going to guess what they are. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
60%.
60% of the people in the world have the wrong life insurance.
Maybe, but this show is about the two biggest reasons your reps aren't making quota.
Got it.
60%, according to CSO Insights, only 60% of sales reps meet quota.
Wow.
That means 40% of reps don't meet quota.
Wait, let me
quota.
See. 100 minus 60. Okay, go ahead. Keep going, Jen.
All right. That's a lot of... That's high. Okay. 39%.
39% of America wakes up in the morning and drinks Death Wish coffee.
I sure hope so.
Yep.
39% of sales professionals said transparency would also help sales teams reach quota.
Oh,
according
give me
to
a break.
Spring CM.
That's such bullshit. Okay, keep going.
Okay, 73%.
It's 74%.
No, it's 73.
Oh, 74%. Let's see. What could that possibly be? Can't get to the decision maker.
73%, according to a report from Aberdeen, 73% of salespeople using social selling as part of their sales process outperform their peers and exceeded quota 23% more often.
Like it.
So if you're not using social media.
Or social selling,
what the hell are you waiting for?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to wait until my computer won't catch on fire or until it becomes more popular so that all my competition can bury me within the next year. Social selling, by the way, is going to dominate this year more than ever. So now it's time for Sell or Die's two biggest reasons that your sales reps are not making quota. And if you happen to be a sales rep, why don't you listen up, because this can help you too. So Jenny, what's the first big reason?
The first big reason is value. Sales reps are not providing value. They're showing up and they're talking about their products. They're talking about their services. They're talking about themselves.
How great they are.
Of course, they're the best in the world, aren't they?
Yep.
But they're not talking about or helping the customer see the value that they can offer and making it in the customer's way of thinking. So if the customer cares about a certain color or type or whatever, they're not putting it in those terms. They're talking about the features and the benefits rather than what the customer actually cares about. So the customer is not seeing value.
Let me put my two cents on that one.
Go for it.
It has to, something has to occur after a person takes ownership. And if you can get them to visualize what happens and how they win after they take ownership, that's where value occurs. You know, there's this intersection between sales crap and value. And right here is ownership. And that's right after they make the purchase.
So you think about like how you're going to feel after you own it, or
exactly.
what it's going to do for you after you own it.
And the salesperson can put that into their vision.
But the salesperson is missing that. And as a sales manager, you have to wonder, why are they missing that? Do they not see the value themselves? Are they just overtrained on features and benefits?
I have a two-part answer for mine.
Okay, let's hear it.
One is they're not getting to the decision maker, the real decision maker. And it's because, this is part two, they don't understand how that decision is going to be made. So the sales rep goes in and says, are you the decision maker? And some guy lies and says yes, and they believe it. And then they say, well, we have this meeting, and we decide on who's going to get it. So this is my recommendation. You never ask, are you the decision maker? Rather, if you're a sales manager right now, this is how you have to teach your reps to get to the decision maker, because that's their biggest complaint. I couldn't get to the right guy. All the rep has to do is say, how will this decision be made? Not are you, how do you make the decision? And then the customer says, well, we get a group of people together and we decide. And the rep is supposed to say, okay, then what? Well, then we take it to the CFO to get his initials, but he always goes along with what we say. That's a bunch of crap. So now I know that the CFO is going to make the decision. I'm even going to say, then what? Well, anything over 50,000, the boss has to, you know, the CEO has to. So the CEO is the guy who's going to decide. You think it's people sitting around a table who can't decide what color toilet paper to buy without their daddy. And so I'm challenging you that that's the process. How will the decision be made? Then what? And if you're a sales leader, a sales manager, you better teach your salespeople that strategy.
I love it. That's awesome. All right. So coming up soon, Jeffrey, you have an ebook coming out for sales managers.
I do. It's called Sales Management, and I crossed it out and put leadership.
If you want to be one of the first people to get Jeffrey's newest ebook, and it's free, all about sales leadership and sales management, email ebook@gitomer.com and we will reserve one of the first copies for you.
Do it right now. ebook@gitomer.com. Oh, we do?
Let's go to Facebook Live. Facebook. All right. Francis Thomas says, sell the sizzle, not the steak. Alan Harrison, no desire, laziness. Eric,
too much windshield time. Whoa.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Not enough action. Amy.
They aren't held accountable.
They aren't held accountable. Cool. I love it.
This is cool. Right. Thanks for those responses.
You know, they could hold themselves accountable.
I would rather use the word responsible. I think if you're responsible for something, it means you owe it to yourself. If you're accountable, then you owe it to somebody else. I would rather take responsibility and get.
Yeah, but as sales managers, because we have a lot of sales managers listening, they feel like they need to hold their reps accountable.
But
they feel like that's part of their job.
Sales reps got into sales, so they wouldn't have to be accountable.
Of course.
So let's just make them responsible.
Well, you got to hope. I had a rep once who posted pictures of herself horseback riding during her sales call time. I'm like, really? How is your horse Lucy?
Yeah, exactly. So let me take a second to tell you about a service that I absolutely love. It is called Owler. We have our Owler wardrobe. Because when you use Owler, it makes you smarter.
I love it.
Owler is the crowdsourced competitive intelligence platform that over 1 million business professionals use to outsmart their competition, gain competitive insights, and uncover the latest industry news and alerts. Now, I use it myself. I get information on competitors. I get information on companies that I'm serving. And I get other information on people that I like or people that I need to deal with, like American Airlines or Apple. So I want to have understanding and competitive advantage in order to be able to take advantage. And Aller gives it to me for free.
I'll say this. There are 5 emails I read every morning. Just 5. Religiously every morning. And Owler is one of them.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because I need to know what's going on.
Right. You get that morning kick. It's better than coffee.
All right. So you can sign up for free. You can follow Jeffrey on Owler and automatically receive his latest sales tips and videos along with insights. Just go to Owler.com and in the search box type by Gitomer.
Whoa.
Then click on the yellow star to follow him. Owler's free, so sign up today.
I agree. All right, now, what else is cooking now?
Okay, so now, if you want to sponsor our show and you want to have your business or service viewed by thousands of motivated people that watch the show every week, email Doug, our producer, at sellerdie@gitomer.com for more information. We got a question on Facebook. Let's look.
This is kind of fun. I mean, we're like talking to people all over the world. Eric Pugh, 46. Okay. Need to build new business.
No, I think like his, is he saying his age is 46? Okay.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, cool.
Need to build new business. Hard to cold call at this age. Any advice? It's hard to cold call at any
22 year olds still want a cold call. Right. What do you?
Right. Millennials think that sending an email is a cold call. But this is the challenge. You have to look at your old business in order to get the new business. If you have customers that already love you, meet them for coffee in the morning. Talk about what's going on in their marketplace. They will give you ideas. Many of them used to work someplace else. They can give you names of people. There's all kinds of things that you can do.
What if Eric doesn't have customers who already love him? What
if Eric doesn't have customers, then he has to go to LinkedIn. And LinkedIn will provide him names, addresses, email addresses of people that are potential customers.
Okay, but then don't cold call them or like weirdly reach out to them and say, hi, right. I think we have synergy, so let's connect. Connected. Exactly. Yeah. Ask for a warm referral through one of your connections.
You know, it's interesting. I have a lot of connections, and sometimes people will ask me for a referral. I don't even know who the hell the person is. But I always do it, though. If you ask me for something, I'll try my best to be able to accommodate you. I don't just ignore it.
But don't go and asking him now.
Yeah, exactly. Please. But listen, if you do, I'll help you.
So let's get to Facebook. Anything else, Doug, on Facebook? No? All right. Keep the comments, questions coming. Don't be shy. Come on. If we don't get to your question on this show, or maybe you're listening to our podcast on iTunes, you can send any sales question you have to sellerdie@gittimer.com, and we'll try to answer it on our next show.
I concur. So,
some of you out there may be listening to the sales management talk as a sales rep, and you might be thinking, why should I even be a leader? It's time to visit the classroom at the Gittimer Learning Academy to find out.
Check it out. Why should I be, or why do I need to be the leader? Well, the money answer is that leaders have an easier time attracting business and are called upon when answers are needed. The power answer is they're a resource for information and influence. Everybody in the field knows the leader. Not everyone in the field knows the salesman. And in sales, there's a little known truth that can make all the difference in your success. In sales, it's not who you know. In sales, it's who knows you. Leadership is the true challenge for the 21st century. You know, your competitors, they're getting stiffer and smarter than ever. And customers, how are they doing? More demanding? Huh? Profit margins thinning down just a little bit? All these trends create leadership opportunities, not whining opportunities. There's lots of salespeople who lead their team that don't want any kind of managerial position whatsoever because they can't afford the cut in pay. Salespeople are out there making a ton of money, and some of them establish leadership positions and some don't. My challenge to you is it is much better in your own mind and in your market position to be known as the leader.
Awesome. Let's say hello to our friends on Facebook.
Okay. Hello.
Let's do it. We're putting it up on the screen.
Hello.
Hi, Amy. Amy Spink says, what was the second reason reps don't make goal?
Can't get to decision maker and find out how the decision is going to be made.
Or getting to the wrong person, you had said.
Right. They get to some guy who claims he's a decision maker, and he's really not. He sits on a group of people that sit around and decide, then they go have to ask their daddy.
Yeah. So just to recap for those of you just joining us, the first reason was value. Right. Reps are not offering value. They're just telling features and benefits, right. Selling on product, service. And the second reason was not getting to the decision maker.
I want to take it just a little bit further. As a sales leader, you have to teach your people, and your people have to be inspired enough to develop deep belief. They have to believe in the company, the product, themselves, and their ability to beat the competition. Then they have to believe that the customer is better off having purchased from them. That whole process develops that deep-rooted belief, which manifests itself in attitude and self-confidence.
So for our sales managers listening, I have a few ideas, but I'd like to hear yours as well, Jeffrey. How can the manager help the salesperson get that belief?
by displaying it himself or herself first, by not reprimanding people and telling them how lousy they are, but rather go out with your sales guys and make a sale in front of them by setting a standard, not leading by example.
I think I love that. And I think also when a sales rep hears it, not just from the company, but when they hear testimonials, like real ones on video from clients, and they see the clients really benefiting from whatever it is they're selling, they immediately get that belief.
Cool. So
a reminder to our podcast listeners, you can watch us live on Facebook. The best way to find out when we'll be live is to follow us on Twitter at Gittimer or at Jen in a New York Minute, and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer and facebook.com/Jen in a New York Minute.
Yeah.
So now it's time for our special guest, Glenn Mattson.
Ding, 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 ding.
He is the president of Mattson Enterprises. Glenn is a seasoned veteran of the selling profession. His niche is working with financial services producers and field managers who want to shorten their selling cycle. Doesn't everyone want to shorten their selling cycle?
Yeah, of course they do. But Glenn's going to show you how to do it. I mean,
And he's going to show them how to grow their revenues and boost their team's productivity and margins for profit. We spoke with Glenn a few days ago about his thoughts on sales management skills and challenges and trends for 2017. So if you have a question during this interview, make sure to ask it in the comment section and we'll answer it right after this. Stay tuned.
What do you think are the qualities of that great sales guy, that great sales manager guy? What makes that guy a better manager, leader than others?
I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I think it's a lot of things. But, you know, I think your managers have a capacity from a communication standpoint that they're effective. They definitely hold people accountable to what needs to be done. You can go into issues around time and manage their time. They have the ability to be masters at, you know, of course, with communication is debriefing and pre-briefing and, you know, plans and dealing with confrontation and those type of things. But I also think a great manager is someone who, when we take a look at the law of attraction, the ability to get to truth relatively quickly, driving production and driving tasks through other people. So I would say there's probably 10 or 15 things that make managers pretty invaluable, right? Some of them are pretty hardcore skills and tactics, and other ones are more mindset.
So let's talk about some of these talented salespeople. Why would you say they fail at sales?
It depends on if I said sales as a general or specific types of sales. I think you have some that are going to be more on the hunting side. You have some more on service side. You have some that are account managers that consider themselves sales. But if I look at a very traditional salesperson who has to prospect, he has to source it, he has to build relationships, qualify it, sell it, and then grow the account. If I look at that type of person, right? Kind of standalone. If you turn around and say, what makes them probably fail more so than anything else is lack of prospecting, lack of qualifying, because quite honestly, they're too much of a wimp to ask the right questions.
And how does a manager or leader help them overcome that stuff?
Well, you know, and there's the magic dust. The first is quite honestly, most managers don't even know what the problems are, right? So they'll turn around and say, my individual is not getting enough referrals, or they need to work on how to control the desk more, meaning that, you know, I want all the business coming from that individual through us. So they may have these objectives. So unfortunately, most managers look at an objective and say, okay, what do they need to be aware of? What's the knowledge they need to do? How do we make sure they apply it consistently so we can have a skill set? So if I come to Jeff and say, Jeff, I'm having a concern with, or you find out that I'm not asking for enough referrals, what most managers do, unfortunately, is go right to learning. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being a coaching program, you just now turn that into a one-on-one training program.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, so what they really need to do is, unfortunately, is be aware of why they're choosing not to do it. Is it lack of motivation? Is it lack of desire? Is it fears or bravery issues? Most managers have never been taught to investigate that stuff. What they have been taught how to do is train. what they have been taught how to do is demonstrate it, right? But not uncover the real issue. And on the flip side, if you have a really good manager, they don't have the problems. So because they don't have it, they don't understand that others have it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you go talk to someone who is, you know, Jennifer and I are having a conversation, Jeff, and you're my senior. Jen and I are talking, and it's a $50,000 solution. Well, 50 grand to me, because I'm your junior, I want to lose body fluids, right? I mean, it just panics the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
50,000 for you is like, if I'm on the phone for more than 4 minutes, I'm going to get irritated.
Mm-hmm.
So the perception of the size of the deal has a massive amount on what's going on inside my head also.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things I have found, managers are not the best at, you know, investigating.
Well, obviously that manager has not instilled in the head of the salesperson a deep enough belief system to where they feel like $50,000 is something that's not that big of a deal that they should expect, that if they believe deeply enough, they can transfer that $50,000 worth of value to the other guy, even though it may be more money than they personally can afford.
Yes, but they also have, you know, the value may be there, but if they turn around and say, Jeff, this is great, but I got to tell you, $50,000 is a ton of money for us. I mean, that's a big sale. That's a big commitment. And if in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, yeah, but that's really what you need. Now, I may not have the same belief system as you would, mm-hmm. right, as being my senior. I still don't have the same chutzpah. I don't have the same fortitude that you do because you've been through this a million times. And it's my first or second or fourth time to the rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found is your juniors have a what's called an I-ism, is a fear of learning, or excuse me, a fear of losing what they don't have yet. And most seniors aren't afraid of losing an opportunity. Because of that, they win. And when you're afraid of losing something you don't have, you typically come from a position of quite honestly.
Yeah, they'll take the chance that the junior guy won't take chance. What about the guy, the manager skill of going with the sales guy and being able to make a sale in front of the sales guy when the sales guy cannot?
Is that you think is that a job for them? Yeah.
Do I think that's a prominent skill that they need in order to have the rumor that they're pretty damn good?
In the industry I'm in, yes. It's called demonstration. Yeah.
I think in every industry.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of sales managers that have no sales skills.
Yeah. Yeah. The task managers.
Mm-hmm.
And they fill out paper all day. And they
strategy, and they've never actually been ever in front of someone.
And they have a quota that they give to their salespeople, and I'm not sure where they get that sales quota, but I think they like pull it out of their butt, right?
They throw a dart at the wall.
Yeah, it's about 3 feet below your head.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, where do they get we're going to grow 11.5% this year. Where did that come from?
Or worse yet, is the phone call I have after you is we were supposed to grow by 30%. They grew only less than 5%, right? So
mm-hmm.
then the new quota came out this year. So now I have three of my national VPs dealing with the CEO who's not, there's no reality. Because like you said, the guy's never sold. So his mindset is, what's the problem? Just go out and make more sales.
So let's talk about hiring salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
Why is hiring salespeople so hard for most managers?
Why? Because I don't think they interview. I think
what
most
do you
sales
mean?
Managers. Well, I think most sales managers actually sell the position. And what I mean by that is, let me tell you about the company. Let me tell you about where we're going with the future. Let me tell you about what the position is and what we need to do. And then I'm going to spend the next 30 minutes trying to convince the person in front of me to take the job.
I agree with that.
Because they're always selling.
Yeah.
Now they're selling the job.
It's an abomination.
So,
and then they get there and like, I don't know. Well, why is this person not doing the work? Well, you never interviewed them.
What are the top three questions you would ask a sales candidate?
I think that depends on what their roles are, responsibilities, expectations, those type of things. I mean, is it entry level? Is it someone who's going to be coming in with a Rolodex that we expect $1 million worth of production in the first 4 months? Is it someone who doesn't know their from their elbow? You know, I think that may change. But if you're going to do just some generic questions, obviously some of the generic ones are what they've done in pre-work to get ready for the interview.
Mm-hmm. How about what do they know about the company?
Yeah.
Rather than you try to tell them about your company, I'd really like to know, what do they know about it?
Right. I mean, normally they'll start off with, as I appreciate you walking through the door, how much time do we have, right? So you understand what the position is. So why don't you tell me a little bit about the investigative work that you've done on us so far?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, usually those are some pretty easy ones. But again, depends on the role, I think, on what questions you'd ask.
And are you more interested in the outcome of the interview or the outcome of their testing and all the other crap that goes with the HR requirements of finding the right person?
If you're very good at interviewing, I think the interview is very important. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there is tests out there that are absolutely useless, and there's tests out there that are invaluable. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that even when they take the tests and the test comes back and says no, their belly button says yes, almost always, you hire them, and then right 6 months later, where they say, son of a gun, I never should have hired them.
So I want to know what you think are the biggest trends coming for 2017 in terms of sales management and sales leadership.
Well, in my world, they have what's called functional leadership now. Functional leadership is, now, Jen, it may be different for you, but my world, there are managers that have to hire. They have to develop them and train them. They have to do demos, which is going out and doing joint work and sell for them in the beginning. They're also going to have to hold them accountable for their numbers and et cetera. So they wear different hats. They're a coach. They're a trainer. They're a supervisor. They're a mentor. And they have all these different functions. And then, unfortunately, instead of saying we have to teach our people better, what is now happening, at least in our industry, is they're going to functional leadership, which is saying, all right, all you do is coach.
Oh, wow.
All you're going to do is onboard people.
So you're taking out the hiring responsibility and the management responsibility?
Well, it depends. Like, for instance, Jen, you now may be the hiring manager. Jeff, you may be now the supervisory manager. Glenn, you may be the joint work specialist. Instead of all of us doing all of it, now they're cutting it down to maximize my quote-unquote strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that from the outside, you know, I'm the guy yelling, hey, you're naked, to the king as he's walking down the street, and everyone's going, you're awesome. But this is a short-term fix. Unless you have a rotation for functional leadership, you're actually shooting yourself in the foot for about 3 years from now to have no bench strength.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I think everybody should be not accountable, responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one wants it. You got into sales so you wouldn't have to be accountable. And CRM makes you accountable, and that's why salespeople don't use it. But I think more important is that if I tell a person you're accountable to me versus you're responsible to yourself and your family, I think they're going to take that responsibility a hell of a lot more seriously.
Yes, and what they do at work and their goals and everything else all have to be tied to it. But for most managers, I would turn around and say, Jen, at least in my world, that is becoming a pretty big movement. And I think it's a short-term Band-Aid. And I think in 5 years from now, people are going to turn around and say, we have no leaders.
So what would you do instead? If you got to make the call, how would you change it up?
Well, if they want to stay in the mindset of functional leadership, then you need to have functional leadership on a 15 to 18-month wheel. So you're going to be a recruiter for 2 years, then you're going to go into joint work for a year, then you're going to go into, that's fine. But to have someone become a joint work specialist and all that's all they're going to do for the next 4 or 5 years, you're actually killing yourself on getting your managers ready for leadership. I mean, you're taking their roles, instead of saying you have 10 roles to do, you now I only have one, right? And then, but you need those other roles for experience to be a great leader.
And for understanding. I mean, if you are only going to coach on how to get an appointment or how to close a sale, there's 90 other things that go into that.
It seems expensive, too, because it seems like they're saying, well, we know we're giving you these 5 things to do, but you're only good at one. So we're just going to have you do one, and we're going to get 4 other people to do the 4 other things.
It seems like somebody who's not in sales made this decision.
Well, you would have potentially each office, maybe you have 6 or 7 managers currently.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 or 7 managers, you may have one doing great, 2 that are doing okay, and I got 3 or 4 that, who the hell gave them a management job? right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So let's rise them to some other level of mediocrity so they can either be more mediocre, or should we just fire them?
Well, even worse yet in my mind is they're putting makeup on an ass's on the backside of a mule, for God's sakes, right? And they're saying, hey, this is not an ass, it looks great. So, you know, if you have someone who does nothing but can do joint work, make them a damn salesperson, right? And just have them do joint work. Why make them a manager? So
I agree.
You know, I just think they're doing, you know, they're killing themselves for another 5 years from now.
I want to thank Glenn Mattson for taking the time to join us by phone. A very, very substantial and important conversation about sales leadership that has basically unleashed a minor firestorm on our Facebook page. And Doug, what's coming up there? I know we got a bunch of comments. Marty Peterson has written a book and he put it up there in the form of a post-it when he was in sales. He left because his sales manager was not the right person for the job. Flash in the pan, did nothing, didn't answer questions for the reps. Instead of honing his sales skills, most of the sales managers spend their time refining their pass-the-buck skills, their initiatives to build growth cockamamie ideas, and overall getting disconnected with their reps who are actually in the trenches.
Marty's our kind of listener.
Marty is definitely our kind of listener.
Yeah, way to go, Marty.
But let me throw something at you. If the sales leader is not prepared to lead, it's not going to happen. And the senior management or senior executives of a company will hire somebody who is a great salesperson into management thinking, oh boy, this guy's going to make it happen.
It's crazy because they're not transferable skills. Just because you're really good at selling, no offense, doesn't mean you're going to be a great sales leader. Doesn't mean you're going to be able to coach people and train them and help them in the way that they need to be trained. And what happens all too often, Marty's right, is the best salesperson gets promoted to leader.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that numerous times over and over again.
So here's my recommendation. The company has to invest. They have to invest in the present rate of pay to the sales guy who they're going to make, or the saleswoman who they're going to make a leader, and pay them at their present rate for somewhere between 3 and 6 months while they study management and leadership. So that when they come back to the job, they've actually had some training into how to deal with conflict, how to encourage people to win, what to do in situations where the customer doesn't agree with the salesperson, what to do when the salesperson makes a mistake, what to do when they don't make quota, how do you train people? All the skills that they need that they have never had before that management or leadership executive team is counting on them doing. Let them take a course. Go to the Harvard Business School. Go to Wharton. Go someplace where you can actually learn sales leadership skills.
Or learn from the best sales leader at the company who's actually a leader.
Or other sales leaders who might have a course, like me. But the challenge for them is they haven't studied sales leadership, and you're asking them to go in. So I have a great idea. If you need brain surgery, I'm going to recommend a surgeon to you that has no formal training. Like, dude, what are you thinking?
You're going to go to that surgeon?
No, hell no. Well, you hung around a drugstore a lot. He thinks you can do a great job.
All right, let's go back to Facebook. What other questions do we have? Alan, how do you convince your company, Co., to invest in sales management in this way?
Well, listen, you can't convince the company. They have to convince themselves. They're not going to listen to a sales guy going, we need training, we need things, because they're the same salespeople that say our prices are too high.
Well, if you put it to them in a business perspective, so it's not like, I really want training, because that's what you want, but you say to them, okay, here's the training course I found. I'm a new manager.
Right.
If I take this training course, I'm going to be able to help these 5 reps who now report to me better, and I really think that they're all going to make quota because I'm going to be helping them better, and these are the outcomes. This is what I'm going to learn, and this is the investment in terms of cost and time, and make a business case for it.
And make a video. And send it to your executive team. Let them say no to you, or let them say yes to you, based on your enthusiasm for this process. You know, you're trying to be convincing to them, but you're not doing it in a very compelling way.
Sell them like you would sell a client.
Exactly.
Sell your executives.
Exactly.
Okay. Augusto, what to do with salespeople who think they to know everything and don't agree to be coached, but the results are not shown.
Well, these people live in New York City. They already know everything.
Of course.
No, the challenge.
New Yorkers know everything, Jeffrey.
The challenge is you make training mandatory. You have to. It's like going to high school. What happens if you miss 10 days of classes? They come and expel you. Or they come in, you know, the truant officer goes after you. Well, the sales manager, the sales leader needs to make training not optional.
Put them in their place. Give them an assessment. Jeffrey has a great assessment out there.
Yep.
And say, okay, you think you know everything. Great. I believe you. But show me. Just prove it. Take this assessment.
Right.
And they'll soon learn they don't know everything.
Go to the GetEmerLearningAcademy.com. Sign your salespeople up. It's very inexpensive. And let the first thing they do is take the assessment. Because it's a sales skills-based assessment.
Okay, here's a reminder to our podcast listeners.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
Mark.
Wait. One more. Mark, what are the key questions to ask decision makers in order to find the underlying need of their service so that salespeople can provide value to fill that need?
And the answer to that question is very simple. You have to ask questions that draw out their wisdom and their expertise. How have you successfully used? What have you found to be true? What's the best thing that you've done in order to be able to make this happen? What do you think your sales guys need in the field in order to be able to make their stuff happen? So you ask questions to draw out real world situations, not namby-pamby crap that doesn't mean anything. I don't want to take some kind of a test that tells me what my aptitude might be to be a great person so you can cover your butt when you hire somebody. What I want is what's their real capability and what are their real needs in order to be able to go out and win. And you as a sales leader better know that because you've been to that decision maker. You've made those 100 cold calls. You've done everything that you need to do in order to be able to be a genuine leader, not a manager. You want to manage somebody? Manage yourself.
Awesome. Okay, here's a reminder to our podcast listeners. You can watch us live on Facebook.
Yeah.
The best way to find out is when we'll be live is to follow us on Twitter, at Gittimer or at Jen in the New York Minute, and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer and facebook.com/Jen in a New York Minute.
So if you're in leadership, sometimes erroneously referred to as management, you have to stay on top of things all the time. You got to stay aware at all times, which means staying awake all the time, which means drinking Death Wish coffee. Now, we are Death Wish coffee devotees. We are drinking today out of our sales caffeine coffee mug, which on the inside says, and it faces you every time you take a sip, coffee is for closers. Put that pot of coffee down. Coffee's only for closers. I love that movie, Glengarry Glen Ross, where Alec Baldwin plays himself.
All right.
You see this watch?
Death Wish is made from the strongest possible combination of perfectly roasted beans. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee. We drink it in the studio when we do the show. Go get your first bag of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
I love Death Wish coffee.
Me too.
Now, it doesn't matter if it's a sales rep, a sales manager, or a VP of sales, one thing that they all have in common is excuses. Now, they may refer to them as reasons, but there's very few good reasons. Like, price is too high is not a reason. That's an excuse. But here's Jen with more on battling the biggest excuses that everyone in sales has.
Biggest excuses. I keep meeting salespeople who try to justify why they aren't making quotas by blaming everything and everyone, rather than just stepping up to the challenge. Here's the three biggest excuses I hear. Number one, no one is buying right now. Well, guess what, buddy? People are buying. They're just not buying from you. Number two, the price is too high. And number three, the product sucks. Those are excuses, and they're bullshit. Don't let challenges turn into excuses, and don't let excuses get in the way of your success. Document your challenges. Take responsibility to create value-based answers for those challenges, and implement a no-excuse policy. How much more do you think you could grow if you weren't allowed to make excuses? What would your new results be? Answering these questions and putting them into practice will take time, but the reward will be making more sales in a New York minute.
Come on, you got to love that intro and outro for Jen. Visit her at salesinanyminute.com, salesinanyminute.com, for more amazing tips on attitude, sales, and much, much more from the great Jen Gluckow.
Thanks, Jeffrey. It's time once again to check Facebook for your comments and questions.
And I'm sure we have several million of them, but if we don't...
Oh, look at that. Get your free networking ebook. Oh, yeah. You just go to my website, salesinanyminute.com. Cool.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I want to thank everybody. Oh, wow. More people. Oh, Tim Pearson. I love Tim Pearson. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Looking
don't know you.
Good, Jeffrey. Watching from Minneapolis. I totally love Tim Pearson, by the way.
It must be freezing ass cold there.
Click on him. He is one of the best photographers in the world. Has taken some of the best pictures of me that have ever been taken. Tim Pearson, great photo. And it's time for us now to say goodbye. So if you have sales questions, send them to us anytime. SellOrDie.com. SellOrDie@Gittimer.com, sorry, and we will answer them on the show.
That's all the time we have for this edition of Sell or Die. We know your day is busy. It is. And we appreciate you taking the time to come out and learn and earn with us.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook to find out when we're going to go live next.
Thanks to our guest, Glenn Mattson. Our producer is Doug Branson, and our technical director is Chris Hill. Until next time. I'm Jen Gluckow.
Wait, we have our tweeter. We have to thank Bailey.
Oh, and our new social media expert is Bailey Elmore.
And thanks to everybody.
There she is. Back. You can't see her yet.
Oh. Until next time.
Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell, even if your ass falls off.
That was an amazing interview.
That was unbelievable. Where the hell was it? It was in the archives, but iTunes forgot to leave it up, and now it's up, and now... But where should our diehards go right now?
All right, if you want more, go to Facebook and search for the Sell or Die Hards official Facebook group, or if you really want to get involved in the community, you can go to 2020, the numbers, 2020salesvision.com, and sign up for the waitlist to get into the 2020 Sales Vision group.
And speaking of 20, your investment will be $20.
That's right. It's $20 a month. $20 a month.
Live answers, interactions. It's unbelievable. Go there. Do it now.
It is so much fun. I love it. All right, guys. Peace out.